We welcome many of Harry's extended family here today. Some of you crossed the river to get here, and others from a little further away in New York. We are delighted to have you with us as we remember our friend. Let us pray. Come near God, bend low, enter this your house. Come so near to each of us as to oil the hinges of our heart's doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Back in 2009, Old South Church held a quite wonderful evening auction to raise money for Habitat for Humanity. Habitat was determined to save a Dorchester neighborhood by purchasing and rehabilitating foreclosed properties on Blue Hill Avenue. It was a good cause. Just about every member of this church put their shoulder to the plow of this auction. How many of you were there or remember it or were part of it? It was a big deal, right? We raised over $20,000 for Habitat, and we also had a lot of fun. And that evening, Harry auctioned 2 hours of cocktail piano entertainment. For a private party, you had to have a piano, and it had to be tuned. And he would provide music: Gershwin, Porter, Rodgers and Hart, Ellington, etc. The bidding for Harry's item was fierce. Bill and Marilyn Adams prevailed. There ensued a delicious evening comprised of good food, great friends, much laughter and joy, and with Harry on the bench, the kind of piano music that makes you smile, that makes the world's ills disappear, at least for a few hours, while those gathered round the piano bask in camaraderie and revelry. Harry was good at that. Amen.
Amen.
Another item auctioned off that night was mine, number 73. It was entitled Sermon of Your Choice. The description read, choose any biblical text, and then I had an example, women shall keep silent in church, to be preached by Old South's senior minister. Well, Harry Huff got into something of a bidding war with other members over this item, and he won. And he asked me to preach on a text near and dear to him, the story of the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So love was the theme, and Harry and I chose Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th, 2010. Harry planned fitting music. The prelude included Love Bade Me Welcome, a poem by George Herbert set to music by Ralph Vaughan Williams, and Rob Wooden performed baritone solo. The choir presented Ubi Caritas at Amor, Where True Charity and Love Dwell, based on 1 Corinthians and set to the music of Durafle. Adriana Repetto, who just sang now, sang a solo John Ireland's Many Waters Cannot Quench Love, based on verses from both the Song of Solomon and John's Gospel. For the postlude, Harry arranged a medley of Richard Rogers' compositions, Falling in Love with Love, If I Loved You, People Will Say We're in Love, My Romance, My Funny Valentine. Sam Oh was on cello, and Harry sat right there piloting the great E.M. Skinner organ, or as Harry sometimes called it, the Copley Philharmonic organ. And I preached from the verse in John's Gospel that Harry had chosen, verses about the disciple whom Jesus loved. The relationship between Jesus and this disciple whom he loved is much pondered over, and not a lot is known. Here's what we do know. We know that Jesus and 12 men were local celebrities. There was a kind of magic about them, a vibe. They went everywhere together. Wherever they went, things happened. Crowds gathered, storms were stilled, people were fed, others healed, others forgiven. Politicians and other celebrities showed up, public arguments broke out, and there were parties. People put on parties for Jesus and his followers, great gatherings with plenty of food and wine, an animated conversation about what matters on earth. So what happens when they step away from the public eye, Jesus and the 12? What are they like in private, out of earshot and out of view from the media and the paparazzi and the people? It is in John's gospel that we get a little peek, a tantalizing glance into the personal life of Jesus and his relationship with the 12. It's the night of the Last Supper. He is full of emotion, Jesus. Jesus and the 12 are in an upper room in Jerusalem, behind closed doors. And there has been talk among them of betrayal. One of them will betray Jesus. And John tells us that one of the disciple whom Jesus loves, is reclining next to Jesus, leaning against him. Peter motions to this disciple and whispers to him, "Ask Jesus which one of us will betray him." The disciple whom Jesus loves leans against Jesus and asks him, "Lord, who is it?" That phrase, the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved, appears 5 times in John's gospel, but not once, not ever, in any of the other 3 gospels. What did John see or know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke did not? What do you see in the glimpse we have been given of this beloved disciple? Some scholars postulate that the beloved disciple may be James, Jesus' brother. Some think it might have been Lazarus, his good friend Lazarus. Some argue that the beloved disciple is actually Mary Magdalene. But most scholars believe that the evidence points to a male disciple, likely named John. But is it John the disciple or John the apostle? Or are they the same John? The truth is, no one knows. Despite poring over the ancient manuscripts with magnifying glasses, and despite comparing this ancient text with that, and that with that, and that with that, scholars have not uncovered enough evidence to rule one way or another. So we are left to wonder. We are left to imagine. What do you see as you peer into the scene? Now, if people generally fall into one of 2 categories, if we are all either lovers or fighters, Harry Huff was a lover. Harry Huff was a lover, which doesn't mean he didn't have a lot of fight in him, right? I hear some amens from those who know. Harry had plenty of fight in him, plenty of spit and vinegar in him. Amen?
Amen.
But he was a lover. And he was drawn to the story in which Jesus has some sort of special, intimate, tender, affectionate relationship with one of the 12. And I can only imagine that if you grew up gay in the mountains of Tennessee in the 1950s, where to be queer was to be a death penalty, that this story would capture your imagination and your attention. Harry had somebody just reminded me this week that one of the refrigerator magnets on Harry's refrigerator, of which there were many, amen, One said, gay by birth, fabulous by practice. But I digress. Back to the text. Later that evening in that upper room behind those closed doors, after the meal, after Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, 12 disciples, 24 feet. After this, Jesus delivers what New Testament scholars call his farewell discourse. Some describe this farewell discourse as Jesus' last will and testament. Jesus says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as much as I have loved you. And by this, says Jesus, if you do this, says Jesus, people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, Buddhism teaches the meaning, the means to enlightenment, ultimate liberation, nirvana. Islam teaches submission or surrender to Allah. Judaism teaches a means to keep in covenant with the one God who freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The heart of Christianity is rather different. And I don't know which is harder, more arduous, more difficult, to achieve enlightenment or to love one's enemies. But they are different. And Christianity is about love. And loving, because that is what Jesus came to do and to be. Because we perceive that the original instinct of God to create, to author life, is a predisposition to love. In the same way that a parent is predisposed to love the child of their creation. There is something else about love. It is a boundary-crossing thing. There are the boundary-crossing illicit loves that we know throughout history, Romeo and Juliet, or Cleopatra and Mark Antony, Lancelot and Guinevere, Richard the I of England, and Philip II, Augustus of France. Eloise the nun and Abelard the philosopher, and the love and marriage, I saw it last night on TV, the documentary of Mildred, who was black, married to Richard Loving, who was white, a love that provoked in 1967 the landmark civil rights decision invalidating the laws that prohibited interracial marriage. Love is boundary crossing. Today, however, on the Sunday nearest what would have been Harry's 65th birthday, we are focused on a different kind of boundary, that between the quick and the dead, the living and those who dwell with God in highest heaven. Christian love transcends the boundaries between life and death, heaven and earth, time and eternity. Between we who wear this earthly flesh that is fading and wasting, and those like Harry who have graduated to angel's wings, who shine in heaven, who is not dead, but alive, wondrously, resplendently alive, thriving in our memories, flourishing in our music, and dazzlingly alive in God's transcendent love. Amen.